You're listening to Rosie on the House.
Come on around back, Arizona. It is the 8 o'clock hour, our outdoor living hour. This is one of those times of the year where we get five Saturdays in a month.
Gotta love those.
And we've got Greg Peterson back. We had this incredible opportunity last week to do mesquite bean milling. So everyone that has our home maintenance calendar and follows along with our published topics, tune in to hear about rainwater and graywater harvesting. But we're treated to mesquite milling instead. So we've got you back this Saturday to catch up on what we missed last Saturday.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
I want to follow up to last Saturday.
Okay.
You guys got out to the Dale Creek Equestrian Center.
Yep.
Picked a bunch of mesquite beans, dried them out.
And people are milling. We fired up the hammer mill. So this hammer mill is this thing. It sits on a trailer. It's about 12 feet tall maybe and 12 feet long. This is a huge piece of equipment. And we got it fired up and running this week. We bought it used, refurbished it. And the people that harvested all those mesquite beans from last Saturday and over the past month are bringing them down. And
Greg, we went beyond refurbishing.
All right.
Come on.
We rebuilt the whole thing.
Stainless steel everything. It's the sweetest trailer now.
And your guest that you brought with you?
This is Don Titmus. Sorry about that. Don Titmus is a longtime friend of mine. He's a permaculture teacher here in town. And we're talking rainwater and graywater harvesting here. And he probably has done more rainwater and graywater harvesting projects in this town than most people. So I just thought we'd bring in an extra ear because this is our third season doing this. Third year doing the rainwater, graywater harvesting segment in June. So I figured we'd bring in a new voice.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And before we get into that, still, I'm going to know, how much did y'all grind up? How many pounds of mesquite flour was created at the urban farm?
The Grow PHX.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Grow PHX. Sorry.
Grow PHX, different company. We did about 155 pounds of mesquite flour yesterday, and that was from people just bringing in a five-gallon bucket or two five-gallon buckets, and yeah.
And
that,
let's
awesome.
See, so that would make over 1,000 pancakes.
It was, oh, yeah.
Waffles and biscuits and, oh, yum.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So it's going great. We're over there from today at 4549 North 7th Street. That's 7th Street just south of Highland.
If somebody was listening last week and got inspired and went out and picked mesquite beans, they can still come get them milled up today?
Yep, they need to be crispy dry so they break in half and they have to have been harvested off of the tree, and you want to taste them to make sure they taste good. But other than that, come on down. Even if you don't have beans, just come on down and check out what we're doing. It's epic.
And that's growphx.com.
Growphx.com.
They can get the address and all the details there.
Yeah.
Great. So we're talking rainwater harvesting today. Perfect timing ahead of the monsoons. That wasn't an accident. How much can you expect to harvest off of a roof in Phoenix? Is there an equation for the runoff?
Oh, there is, absolutely.
It depends.
Yes, it depends on your roof. It depends on your square footage. It depends on where you are in the valley. I mean, if you're in the shadow of South Mountain, as Sky Harbor is, and our technical rain count is like 7 to 8 inches per year, but that's only for Sky Harbor Airport, not the rest of the valley. I get much more, 4 to 6 inches more rain at my house in East Mesa than Sky Harbor. So really, it depends.
It depends.
Well, and the cool thing is people often ask me, why should I even bother harvesting rainwater? It doesn't rain very much here. But we can, on 1,000 square feet, so there is a model for it. On 1,000 square feet, an inch of rain will give you 600 gallons of water. That's enough to water some pretty epic trees.
Well, and let's just say there's 4 million homes. And if each of those homes, I got to count my zeros right here. It's kind of hard on a computer screen and in real time, times 600 gallons per inch. And let's say the state average is 7 inches.
You're really going to do this math, aren't you?
One, two, three. It's going to take me a while to count these zeros. But we'll tell
that's
you the gallons that it would save off of having to pump out of the CAP or groundwater.
Yeah, that's
every
a
year.
Lot of water. Exactly.
And all those little things are just going to add up over time and put less stress on our water resources.
System. Yeah. Well, and that's just rainwater.
Yeah.
There's also gray water and storm water. You want to tell us what gray water is?
So gray water is second use on tap water. So I'm not a fan of tap water. I've put a CL3 unit on my whole house to take out the chlorine because I don't want that in my garden. I grow vegetables and food and everything else, and chlorine is really bad for that. So I take that out right away. And so anything that's left over from your normal household washing and cleaning and things like that that goes down the sinks in the bathroom, the bathtub itself, the shower itself, but not the not the dishwasher or the kitchen sink.
Or
those
toilets.
Two are considered black water. And so all the other gray water could go out into the landscape and be redirected straight to your trees, which will contribute to your shade of your house.
And the black water gets used 14 more times if you're in Phoenix, Goodyear, Mesa. It's all pumped to Palo Verde Nuclear Power Plant, and that's the water they use to generate the energy. So it's used, that black water is still used.
Yeah, that's the purple pipe, right?
Yeah. Well, and gray water is legal everywhere in the state of Arizona. Arizona Department of Environmental Quality, about 15 years ago, thank you, Brad Lancaster, for pushing it through.
And Art Ludwig.
It's anywhere in the state you can legally put in gray water systems in your house. Sometimes it takes a little work, but that's way doable. Go ahead. And then there's stormwater runoff, and stormwater runoff is an amazing thing. Basically, stormwater runoff is the water that runs by your house.
In the curb.
Mm-hmm. And there are ways to harvest that off of the street into basins next to the street. So we could literally grow all the street shade that we needed from the water that runs down the streets.
Stormwater, so there's... that's like a second purpose, rainwater.
It is.
Rainwater,
exactly.
Stormwater.
Exactly. And rainwater, gray water, stormwater. And then there's one other place, and that's the condensation water. You know, the water that comes off of our evaporative coolers.
Evaporative cooler. I have a daily flush on my evaporative cooler. So every morning I get fresh water in my house for my first flush. And then whatever's left over just goes back into the landscape.
And then air conditioning condensation. And in July, August, and September, when it's so humid outside, you would be amazed, absolutely amazed at how much water comes off of our air conditioning.
And that's distilled. So you could even bottle it up and use it in the house if you need to.
Yep.
Now, have y'all seen the Zero Mass, speaking of distilled water?
I have, and I keep trying to get to them to see if I can get them on the podcast, number one.
They are very hard to get a hold of. And Jennifer was out there for a tour of a school that they installed this in. And it is great. It's taken I've sent them, I can't tell you how many emails, how many phone calls. Mm-hmm. When Jennifer was on site, they're like, "We are such big fans. We listen every week." I'm like,
hello.
They're huge fans, and it takes us 4 months to still get a hold of them.
Right. So let me just say what that is. It is solar panels that create electricity that have a water distilling system built into it, and it makes a couple gallons of water a day.
Yeah.
That's distilled water right out of the air.
Mm-hmm. It absorbs the moisture out of the air, condenses it, and puts it right into your kitchen sink, and then a lot of people that have purified water or an RO, they've got that separate tap.
Mm-hmm.
Pipe it right into a separate tap.
Wow. How cool is that? So, there, you know, we do live in the desert. There are so many cool ways to be conscious about water.
So there's one more source of water that we haven't talked about yet, and it's in your place and not my place.
Oh, yeah, that's true. The flood water, flood irrigation.
Oh.
Do you have flood water out where you're at?
No.
No, okay. Cool. Basically, it's a water right that comes with the land that I purchased 30 years ago. I've been at the urban farm for 30 years. Isn't that amazing? And, you know, 22 times a year, we get 6-8 inches of water in the yard. So,
and that is something that your Salt River Project?
Yep. It's from SRP. Exactly.
And they have districts around the city that have these flood irrigated properties that, I mean, you walk onto one and you're like, man.
Well, and you can see in the neighborhood. If you're driving through neighborhoods here, you can see, you know, there's bigger trees, more lush.
Which one of those
cooler.
aren't?
Yeah.
So, and that's, do you have to pay extra for that?
The SRP runs me about $110 a year for water, and then you know there's a couple other. Yeah, it's super inexpensive. So when we're talking rainwater and graywater harvesting systems, there's there's some thought process that you have to put behind it, and that's where the water's coming from, the collection, distribution, and plumbing. So this is actually how you set it up, and this is from Art Ludwig's book, Create an Oasis with Graywater. And step number three is the tank, filter, and pump, then the landscape, and then the people, place, and design. And these are all the considerations that we have to take when we're putting a water harvesting system in place.
Right. So that's one of my roles, and I do consultations in regards to rainwater harvesting and the layout of a sustainable living lifestyle for each individual household. And so part of that is the assessment of the property and the assessment of the soil, because the soil matters. And so if you got clay soil, it retains moisture better than any kind of a sandy soil or a loamy soil is that piece in the middle. So I look at those, look at the different characteristics, look at the structures that are on the property, and then begin to assess the rainwater harvesting capabilities.
All right, we're going to have more about rainwater harvesting. If you have a question or would like to join the conversation, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. You can text questions to 411-923 or send an email to info@rosieonthehouse.com. We've got urban farmer Greg Peterson in with Don Titmus. Wonderful Alabama accent. How long have you been in Arizona?
Oh, come on. Be nice now. No, I'm from London, England. But that was back in 81, so I've kind of mellowed a bit.
How long have you been in Arizona?
Since 1981.
Wonderful.
Yeah.